Our message this morning, my mind has been drawn to the subject of separation. And I guess in summary, my burden for this message is many times we think that separation is something we do. And as we read the Bible, I think we're going to learn that separation is something separate, is something we are. And turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6. The doctrine of separation is an important doctrine, and I'm not playing down that it will make us do things, because it will. But separation is something we are. I want to look at 2 Corinthians 6. We're going to read the whole chapter. And the chapter is basically divided up into a couple of sections here. There's a block in the middle. Well, the audience changes a bit. Part of the time it's talking to, Paul is talking to the believers at Corinth, and part of the time he's referencing what they as ministry did and what they were doing. So 2 Corinthians 6, starting off with verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, as we look at this passage, the first thing I see is the call. The call. And he starts out, verse 1, as workers together, says, I beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. He says, I'm imploring you that this grace of God that you're receiving be not in vain. And maybe I should just give a little bit more introduction. I'm going to start out on the whiteboard here. it might help you to understand a little better where we're going with some of this. We're going to draw three columns over here. One is the topic or subject. The other one is the response of the person separated unto God. And the third one is the response of the person not separated unto God. I'm going to invite your participation in this message. We have a call to grace. And as we look at the subject of grace, there are two totally opposing ideas, two totally opposing forces as to what grace is. To the person that is separated, what is grace? Yes, Junior.
In the beginning, we were saved by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Since our Lord Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago for you and I, that's when grace began.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are saved by grace and faith.
Mm-hmm. So part of grace has to do with faith in our salvation. Okay, anybody else have some thoughts on what grace is to the believer, to the separated? Yes, Eldon.
It's God's undeserving acceptance of my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. God's acceptance of my life. And I'm going to raise the question, what's that going to make us do? And maybe we should look at the negative side first. I might clear up what I'm getting after. There are many Christians that will accept that slogan or that fact that God's grace is God's acceptance of my life. And what do they do with that thought? That's right. They use it as a license to sin. So the unseparated, the unseparated uses it as a license to sin. Now, what's the separated person going to do with that?
Uses it as a motivation.
That's right.
For right living.
That's right. A motivation for right living. I'm going to use the word power. Power for right living. So our first call here is a call to grace. To the separated person, that is a call to claim what God has given us, the acceptance He has given us, and use it for living right. To the unseparated person, that is a license to sin. Okay. Receive not the grace of God in vain is the challenge here. If we're going to receive the grace of God to our profit, we're going to be in the separated column. If we're going to receive it in vain, we're in the unseparated column. Okay. Now the next number of verses here, verses 2, you'll notice it starts a parenthetical statement. Verse 2 is a parenthetical statement. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. He's actually switching the focus. Verses 3, and that happens the whole way up to verse 10. It's actually all part of the same sentence. And there's a lot of things we could learn out of that. But I'm going to keep our focus on what Paul is challenging the Corinthians to do. So we're going to go to verse 12. And the next thing I want to notice about the call to separation is be not straitened. Now, what in the world does he mean by that? What does he mean by be not straitened? I think what that is telling us is we don't have to be in a condition where we're just, I really want to do this, but I can't. I can't because I need to be separated. Straitened carries, the word straight here is actually narrow. Not straight as in not crooked. It means narrow. There's something beautiful, something wonderful about separation when it is what you are and not what you do. I'm going to come back to that thought in a little bit more, but what I want to let with you right now is we can have a battle within where we're just walking a line, I cannot do this, I dare not do this, I may not do this, or we can have a life of fulfillment. And that's what this verse here is talking about. Okay, the next one I see then, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I need a volunteer from the audience. One of the children want to come forward here? Okay, Brendan. Go ahead, open that up. Open it up and get it out. Show them what it is. Actually, you can take the rest of the string here. Show them what it is. They can't see through you. Okay. Now, all I want you to do is put that one horse here and the other one over here. You can't, right? Okay, you can set them down there. Thank you. You can sit down. When we're yoked to something, we are tied to it. These two horses have to go the same place. Notice the one's bigger than the other one. I'm going to place myself as the small horse here for a little bit. Just use some word pictures here. This small horse is going to go where the stronger horse goes. There's not much question about that. If there's a difference of opinion, the one wants to go to the one side and the other, who's going to win? The stronger one's going to win. Verse 13 here tells us that we are yoked. I just used a little piece of rope here, but we are yoked. We are tied to someone. Or just broadening that out a little bit here, it says, be not yoked to unbelievers. In our lives, we are actually tied to either to God and his spirits, or we are tied to the devil and the forces of the world. We are with one or the other. And as we talk about separation, it's automatically with the assumption that we're just changing our yoke. So am I tied to God and separated from the world? Or am I tied to the world and separated from God? Because that is a separation too. So be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We're going to move on to what is separation. We're going to go back a little bit more to our second point. As I look at verses 12 and 13, I make this observation. And notice this comes right before the statement about being yoked. So my observation is this. We are led by our hearts. Separation is a heart condition. It's a condition that starts from the heart. If I have a heart that is desirous of that out there, I can practice this over here. I can practice what's good, but I'm still not separated in the eyes of God. And you know what? There is a lot of religion that works right like that today. You do this. You look this way. You do these things. You pay this tithe. And you got a free ticket. You got a ticket to glory. But it's not really like that. According to this, he says it's coming from the inner, he uses the word bowels. And I think the way the word is being used here, it's being used to not speak. I think it's being used to speak of our inner desires. In other words, we're straitened because of our inner desires. Our inner desires are over here, and yet we're trying to do this over here. So am I separated or am I not? If my desires are over here, that's where God sees me. If my desires are over here, that's where God sees me. Because our desires, finally, is our relationship with God. If I am pursuing the world, I am not in a relationship with God. Even if I put on the things that make me look to mankind that I'm walking with God. Verse 13 he's referring back to what he says about his heart being enlarged for the believers. And he says, be ye also enlarged. He is leaving us, again on the subject of heart condition, he is leaving us here the challenge to just open up. Just open your heart wide. Open the heart's doors. And let God fulfill the desires. Let God direct the desires, is what I wanted to say. Let God direct the desires. And as we do that, we can find fulfillment. We can find purpose. Okay, verse 14. What is separation? Separation is a deliberate choice to find my fellowship with the righteous. It is a choice to find my fellowship with the righteous people of God. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the negative on that right now, because we'll see a little bit more on that later. But when that happens, there's a separation. There are people over here that I just no longer connect with. There's people here that, yes, maybe I talk to them, but our worlds are so far apart, it's hard to find a connection. But over here, separation is for me to choose to fellowship with the righteous, the people of God. Verse 15 builds on that. In communion with Christ and his saints. If I'm living a separated life, I am living a life that is in touch with God. A life where God is not only someone I dig out of the closet on Sunday, but a life that is inspired by God, a life that breathes God, a life that just draws me to talk to him, to pray with him, to read his word. Verse 16, this life of separation is a life of God's Spirit dwelling within. There are two spiritual forces at work in the world today. The one is God's spirit. The other one is the spirit of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, Satan's spirits. And if I choose God's spirit, I have already put myself as a target for the spirits of Satan. There is no fellowship with the spirits of Satan. There's just animosity. Anytime they're in the context, it's warfare, it's fighting, it's struggle. Verse 17 calls us to come out, touch not the unclean thing. So I'm going to say this is separation from the unclean things and those that practice them. When I look at the need, the thought of separation, there is a clean, there is an unclean. This water here to me looks clean. But if I took a little bit of sand and dropped it in that water, just a little bit, now I have clean water and a little bit of dirt, right? Wrong. Clean and unclean do not mix. If I choose the clean, I am separating myself from the unclean. I cannot be contaminated by the unclean because then I'm no longer clean. In this world today, there are a lot of things, so many things that are unclean. And there are so many that are practicing those things wholeheartedly. And if my vision, if my heart is to live a clean life, a pure life, then that draws me away from the unclean and from those that practice the unclean, in fellowship with those that practice the unclean. I believe it will also draw me to speak to those that live in that. That's a different subject. I'm not going to spend much time on that this morning. But, there are those unclean. And God's offer to them is come and be cleaned. And we're messengers of that. Okay, now, we're going to go back to the whiteboard again. And I'm going to look at several things here. I said that separation is a desire of the heart. It begins as a desire of the heart. Okay, so looking at the two sides of that board, what are going to be the desires of the separated heart, the heart that is separated unto God? What would be one of those desires? I actually have several listed here, and my list is not near conclusive. But what would be one of the desires of the separated heart? Brother David. That's right, to seek God in His fullness. Okay, if we put the contrast on that, what's the desire of the unseparated heart? Heart that has not been separated to God. Yes, David.
To get as far away from God as possible.
That's right. To get away from responsibility to God. So one is developing a path to God as fast as they can, and the other one is fleeing from God as fast as they can. Okay, what other desires? Okay, let me put it like this. If the desire of the heart is separation, what are going to be the actions that come out of that? It's David.
If you're separated unto God, then your desire should be to please God.
Mm-hmm. That's right, pleasing God. And I have a question. We'll write some more of these on the board in a minute. But if my heart desires after God, how am I going to live when I'm in the presence of other believers? Going to stay fast in the Lord. Now, how am I going to live when I'm not in the presence of other believers? I see some heads shaking. It doesn't change. That's right. It's the same. Now let's go to the other side of the board. I'm not separated. When I am in the presence of the righteous, somebody that I, and I'm going to put this in the context of somebody that I have some respect for. How am I going to live?
Can you rephrase that?
Okay, looking at somebody that does not have a separated heart, when they're in the presence of the righteous, and I realize that some... Okay, I just read a story where somebody came across a group that was evangelizing and it frustrated them, and they just went berserk, basically. But I'm looking at it from the standpoint of a neighbor, somebody that you actually have some relationship with, somebody you have some respect for. How am I going to live? It depends on the circumstances, really. I mean, I may. Yes, David.
Yeah, that's a broad spectrum. That's why it's been down. I mean, some people would have respect, mm-hmm. but they would keep their conversation limited because they're asking me. Some people, they know you're a godly person, they'll respect you, but what happens is they won't communicate with you too much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They know that you may influence them. So they say, you know what? I'm going to keep this short and sweet, and I can go back to living the way I live. Mm-hmm. I don't want to interact with you too much because I don't want to be influenced by you. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that a lot. There's people who, in their heart, I mean, the Lord is working, but because they love sin so much, mm-hmm. sin has a great growth to it, they will keep themselves separated from the righteous because they don't want to be influenced by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it out well.
But for the most part, they're not going to want to interact with
right.
They don't want anything to do with God. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line. For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But you
yeah.
know what? That's why we preach the word.
Yeah.
The word.
That's right.
That word has power to enter their heart.
Mm-hmm. So these people, you summed it up well when you said when they're not relating to you, they're going to be out doing their own thing. So what they do is circumstantial. If I'm with this group of people and I'm going to find acceptance in practicing my own sinful desires, I'm going to do it. If I'm with this group of people and I'm going to find acceptance in calming that a little bit, I might calm it a little bit. Their lives are circumstantial. Depends who's around at the time. Because the restriction from practicing sin is not is not inward. It's an outward force. Its force is coming from the outside, yes.
Just like the anacardia said, there's many Christians who will fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
They say they're Christians. They when they're around Christians, they'll do the Christian thing. They'll dress like Christians. They know the talk. They know the lingo. But when they're away from Christians, then they'll have to conform to the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're truly of God, then you have to conform to Christ 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our desire. That should be our work in our own hearts, that we make sure that we follow the line and that you don't conform to the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you're coming, and I think we need a...
And that's why he's addressing this crowd, because it's they all. I'm pretty sure everybody here was believing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And we're running short on time here. I didn't think I was going to do that this morning. Desires of the heart, just real quick, a couple more comparisons. It's going to affect our appearance. If I have a righteous desire, I'm going to go for modest dress that draws attention to God, and not for, on the other side, provocative dress, which draws attention to myself. My speech. If I have a separated heart, my speech is going to be upbuilding, edifying. But if I don't, it's going to be dirty. Lots of dirty jokes and swearing and profanity. Now, the next subject I want to look at here is our human fellowship. Where is the separated from unto God going to get his fellowship? So the separated gets their fellowship amongst the believers. Where does the unbeliever, the unseparated, get his fellowship from? That's right, unbelievers. It's two separate camps. It is two separate kingdoms. What about spiritual life? What's my spiritual life going to be like if I'm separated unto God? Yes, Dave.
They're both by pray without ceasing.
That's right. Pray without ceasing.
Basically, your mind is trying to perform always the things of God. You know, you always have God there in your thinking process. And when you're dealing with the world, even dealing with yourself, and dealing with all the things around you, you want to make sure you take God into consideration and say, you know what? What would Jesus do in this situation?
That's right.
I pray that. I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Pray without ceasing. It's you live and breathe God.
Amen.
When you get up, you think about God.
Amen.
As you're going through your day and facing things, you think about God. Now, what about the flip side? That's a person that either just completely ignores their spiritual life, or maybe they're a Sunday Christian. Maybe they go to church on Sunday, and this is the day when they think about their spiritual things. But that leads to something else. Spiritual life. The separated on Sunday, they can be inspired by the foolishness of preaching. But the unseparated, their Sunday needs to be an emotional service to be worth going to. It needs to be something that makes their hearts pump, makes them want to just get up and shout. Okay, another one I wrote down here, which we have a great contrast between the separated and the unseparated, is death. You know, both face pain at the thought of separation. But for the one that's separated unto God, there is that underlying thing where they realize this is going to be the end of suffering. This is going to be the beginning of a glorious eternity with God. But for the unseparated, it's terror. It's just a face-to-face meeting with God and realizing that the very God they're rejecting is just as capable of an afterlife as they were trying to say he wasn't. They're terrified at the thought of a punishment in the afterlife that's real. I think in summary, I'm going to read going to Matthew 11, very familiar verses, 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I had no thought of doing this until a couple minutes ago, but I'd like the song leader to prepare a verse of invitation. When we look at separation, it can be a pleasure in this world. It does not have to be something that has our hearts just struggling because now I cannot do what I want to do. It can be a transformation where God takes our hearts and changes our desires. Does that mean there's no battle to be fought? No. But that means that now grace to us is a power to live above sin and not a license to sin. The separated person can have peace in knowing that God is smiling on him wherever he is, whatever he's doing, because his heart is led by God. His heart is being led. His desire is after God. On the contrast, the unseparated, yes, they get to practice the things that they want to. They can follow their own desires, but there's always that heart that's divided, that heart that is saying, look, you shouldn't be doing this. Look, there really is a God. There really is a God. Look, you wouldn't do this over here, but you're doing this over here. Why? Separation is a topic that can get a lot of press, if you want to say that, in a conservative church setting. But I just want to let with us the fact that if separation comes from the heart, and it is something I am, not something I do, the battle line is at a totally different place. So, let's have a verse of song.